Hey, it's Brother One.
And Brother Two.
From Two Brothers Mattress.
You'll spend 33% of this year on your mattress.
That's almost 3,000 hours.
Start sleeping comfortably now on a new Tempur-Pedic mattress.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
With our lowest price guarantee
and our 100-night trial,
your locally owned Two Brothers mattress is your number one choice for Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
Twobrothersmattress.com.
Imagine Dragons. Loom. World Tour. Live in Salt Lake City. Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater. Friday, October 11th. The brand new album. Loom is available everywhere June 28th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. For more, visit ImagineDragonsMusic.com.
Welcome into the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. Sam, we're back. The offseason is over. My gosh, did it go by fast for you? Because it went by so fast for me. I can't believe that I watched the football game tonight.
Well, it goes by fast because there's no such thing as an offseason in the NFL anymore, right? I mean, it's such a – but it is awesome that we are seeing an actual game on the field. And it's funny because every year when – when I hear people saying, hey, you know what, we got a game this week, the first preseason game this week, you know, a Hall of Fame game. Every time I hear Hall of Fame game, I just kind of roll my eyes a little bit. I'm like, come on, that's just like, that's not even really the preseason yet. But, hey, it's two NFL uniforms, two NFL teams, players that will be on NFL rosters this fall on the field playing football, and it feels pretty darn good to have that.
It's week zero of the preseason, if we're going to go that direction. Yeah. He's Sam Farnsworth of KSL Sports Live. I'm Kyle Ireland of KSLSports.com. We're back for another season of the Yards After College podcast. And like Sam mentioned, we've got the Hall of Fame game that we want to talk about. We also want to dig in a little bit to the training camp situation. Almost 2 weeks into training camp now. My gosh, that's also flying by like crazy fast. And we're 5 weeks away from the first game of the regular season. My gosh, Sam, it's crazy how fast this is coming down. But let's start off with that Hall of Fame game, the annual, you know, preseason opener. Yeah. You saw it tonight on KSL 5 TV. And it was a really cool preseason opener, I think, to cover and watch. You obviously had Zach Wilson starting for the New York Jets tonight.
Yep.
But you had a number of local players. It wasn't just like one of those games where it's like, oh, there's one local guy in this game or like no locals. Like there was a good mix tonight. A couple of guys didn't play due to injury. They're coming back off of injuries right now, so rehabbing. But I guess I'll just kind of open it up to you to start. Zach was probably, you know, the big highlight for a lot of people to start the game tonight. What did you think of Zach Wilson? Because the last time that we saw Zach was December 22nd of last year. He's been benched already. He's got his confidence shaken. The Jets are, you know, in the middle of a kind of a losing skid after really playing well for a stretch there last season. And then just has a really bad game against the Jaguars and ends up getting benched again and then doesn't see the field for the rest of the season, but gets the start tonight. It seemed like he had a little bit of a renewed confidence. Is that what you saw?
I think so. And renewed confidence, but also he seemed a lot more relaxed, right? And he's kind of got that swagger about him anyway, that kind of comes across as a guy who's ready to go out there and just kind of have a good time on the football field. But this time he did. It almost felt like there wasn't that pressure there. And that comes because, obviously, the situation that he's in, Aaron Rodgers is the guy who's in town. He's going to be the guy for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, however many years it ends up being. And Zach's got a great opportunity to just kind of sit back, refine his game, work on the fundamentals or the little skills that, you know, he needs to sharpen to become a starting NFL quarterback again. And not only that, but to build that confidence, see some of this play out on the football field in a game, even though it's a Hall of Fame game, to see some of those plays and kind of, you know, the whole confidence thing again. So what I liked about this game, the Hall of Fame game tonight from Zach Wilson, a couple of things, and Chris Collinsworth gushed about it too on that third and short where he took his time. You could see him making, you know, right, his progressions, you know, boom, boom, boom. Pressure came. He made a nice little spin move. I would like to think he was still kind of looking downfield as he tried to make his way to the line of scrimmage, but then he slipped. And, you know, but I liked it. I liked seeing that as well. And then obviously the big bomb, he showed off that arm. And not only was it showing off the arm, a 57-yard pass, but the timing, the touch, everything was perfect, right? That the wide receiver had the defensive back beat, but it was right in stride, right on the fingertips where it had to be. And that's what, I mean, we all knew Zach Wilson could do that from his college days. He showed everyone at the combine, right, sure, in his pro days that's his strength. But doing it in a game again, completing a pass like that's got to probably feel like a guy hitting a home run who's been in a little bit of a slump, right, to bust out in a way like that. So even though he only completed 3 out of 5 passes, only played 3 series, no touchdowns, but hey, he played some football. He played in a game, and he did some things that you, if you're a BYU fan, you'd hope and expect that will help him kind of get the wheels turning in the right direction again.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, you know, that home run analogy is you know, pretty spot on, because to have confidence get shattered the way it was a season ago, I mean, everybody saw how he was on the sidelines after getting benched multiple times. And that's just, I mean, to go from being the number two pick to, you know, having, you know, the number one market in the country and all eyes on you, and then to go from like the highs of highs at the beginning of your rookie season to where he was at the end of last season, it probably does need to, you know, he does need to have a few of those kinds of things, you know, albeit preseason. But like, those are the baby steps to getting his confidence back to the point where he could be, you know, a functional starting quarterback in the NFL. I will say the thing that I'm looking for him to do in the preseason is really focus on his fundamentals. Like, mm-hmm, his footwork got so sloppy at times last year, and yeah, you could see it. And he was trying to do the Mahomes sidearm throws, like off of, you know, his back foot and just like random stuff that he was, you know, playing backyard football kind of mentality, when it's like, hey dude, you're facing off against the Patriots defense, like you cannot do those types of things. So I think if he can kind of, you know, hone in some of his basics throughout the preseason, then obviously, like, he's getting to watch Aaron Rodgers every single day. Yeah. And just to be able to, like, I mean, we look at Jordan Love, and Jordan Love had the opportunity to watch Aaron Rodgers for the last 3 years, and we're going to be able to see now what those, you know, visual reps of watching a Hall of Fame quarterback can do to a young quarterback that wasn't thrust in, you know, at the jump of his rookie season. So I think that, you know, having Zach and Jordan be both local guys that we can look at that really started their careers off on very different, you know, footings, it'll be interesting to see which, yeah, is like the correct method to go with if, right, you're a young quarterback in the league.
And you know what? I think of, so, you know, I covered the end of Peyton Manning's career, his 4 seasons in Denver. And Peyton Manning was asked multiple times, because there were several young quarterbacks that were brought in under him, you know, Brock Osweiler being kind of the first there. But then you also had Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian. These guys were all in there in the shuffle in one way or another behind Peyton Manning. And during that time, you know, they would ask him those types of questions, you know, are you helping these younger guys? What kind of tips do you give to him? He's like, and he admitted, you know, he doesn't openly look for an opportunity to give someone a tip or something, but he makes it clear to his teammates, I'm there if you want to come talk to me. But he kind of put the ball in their court to have to come to him, because look, the writing's on the wall. He's at the end of a career. He's coming off a major neck injury. He's playing great, but he doesn't know when it's going to end. And he's not about to give the guy behind him any added weapons to overtake his job, right? And I think Aaron Rodgers has a different approach. We've heard it, the way he talked about Jordan Love when he was in Green Bay, when he first left Green Bay to New York, and how he talks about, I love Jordan Love. you know, and I don't know exactly how the relationship was on the field and how he would help Jordan if he waited for Jordan to come to him. I'm not sure. But one thing we did see this week at Jets camp, there was a video that the Jets posted on their social media accounts of Zach Wilson, you know, taking a snap, throwing a ball. He's kind of walking up to the line again. Then he looks over and stops for a second. You can see he's looking at someone. The camera pulls wide, and there's Aaron Rodgers over there kind of talking to him, showing him things. Zach does it again, curls around, and Aaron walks up to him and is talking. So Aaron is being the proactive one here. He's seeking for opportunities to help Zach too. And then we heard what Aaron said in his press conference. He said he wants Zach to see this as an opportunity to hit the reset button and to learn from a guy who loves him. Aaron Rodgers said that about himself, about Zach Wilson, that he loves Zach. And so that's really cool. I think, I don't care if it's a local, who, whatever, you're seeing a legend who's being a humble enough guy to want to help these younger guys become the next great NFL quarterback. And for Zach Wilson to have that, not only have that, but I think he's recognizing now his situation, his place in the NFL universe, and understanding the opportunity that he has in front of him right now to do exactly what Aaron said, hit the reset button, think about what he needs to do to improve not only as a player, but as a teammate, because Aaron Rodgers even brought that up. You know, he's been through a lot. His teammates even said bad things about him. You know, Zach Wilson understands he's got to do a lot of reset here, not just on the field, but all across the board. And if he takes advantage of this opportunity, I think these next 2 years, the last 2 years of his rookie contract, unless the Jets pick up that fifth year, I think they could be super valuable in helping him move on in his career. So I'm excited to see how that relationship develops, even if we don't see him on the football field during a regular season that much.
Well, they linked up tonight. Apparently, the 57-yard pass was called in by Aaron Rodgers. He's the one that made the play call, Zach said after the game tonight. And also, just a side note, pretty cool. It was Zach's 24th birthday today, and so he had a nice little birthday present, you know, playing the way that he did. And speaking of Aaron, Aaron Rodgers posted on his Instagram, "Happy birthday, little bro." So seems like they have a pretty good relationship. Awesome. And obviously, you know, Zach considers him one of his idols. So pretty cool there. Just one last thing that I wanted to touch on about that game, Sam, was former Utah cornerback Javelin Guidry. He's kind of bounced around the league. So he started off with the Jets after college, after leaving the University of Utah. And at the end of the 2021 season, he joined the Cardinals. And then he's bounced around with the Falcons, the Eagles, the Raiders. And this offseason, he rejoined the Jets. And tonight was the first time seeing him back with the franchise that he started with. And he ended up having a nice fumble recovery early on in the game. And I thought that was a nice thing to see from him because, you know, we saw him make so many plays at the University of Utah during his college career. I think that he's one of those guys where you see this sometimes, where one of these guys is just like so talented and teams like, you know, oh, we really like this about X player's game. And so they bounce around the league, but they'd never find the right fit. And now that he's back with the Jets, it just makes me wonder because Joe Douglas, same GM that was there a couple of years ago, like they obviously like Javelin. And so I'm just wondering if he can hone in on what, I don't know exactly what that skill set or talent or maybe just a personality trait is that they like about him. But it's cool to see him make a play like this on the field because he's obviously got a nice fit with the organization. I hope that he can prove himself throughout training camp and throughout the preseason where he can make the 53-man roster.
It's a great defensive organization to be a part of too, right? All of the young pieces that the Jets have added that have already proven to be solid talent last season. Some of these guys they got in the draft this year. I think this Jets defense is – this is the defense to watch for this season in the NFL. They should be pretty exciting. And to know that you got Aaron Rodgers at the other side means that this team should be a legit contender in the AFC. So Javelin Guidry's in a great spot. He's got skill that you cannot be taught, which is that speed of his, right? He is so quick, so fast. If he can improve his NFL IQ from the defensive standpoint, he should find a good fit with that team and then have a long career. So he's got a lot to learn. But if he's learning it, if he's doing that in camp, if he makes plays when the opportunities are given to him, like he did tonight, then I think there's opportunities for Javelin Guidry's NFL career to be lengthy.
So many of those former Utah defensive backs are in the NFL. It just seems like they keep pushing them out, and
yes,
they stand out in the league. That is for certain. But Sam, next thing that I wanted to talk to you about, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side, want to talk to you about some training camp, and we've got a couple injuries with these local guys.
Tough ones, yep.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, welcome back to the Yards After College podcast, powered by kslsports.com. Before the break, Sam, I mentioned that, you know, we're in the middle of training camp, and unfortunately, this last week was really rough on these local guys. First week, it seemed like we were okay, everything looked good, but, you know, you get the pads on, and it starts to be where guys get banged up, hurt, re-aggravate something. And a couple of our locals in the NFL went down with injuries this last week. And my gosh, they were both of our teams, Sam.
Yeah.
We got one with the Indianapolis Colts and Zach Moss, who suffered a broken arm. Zach underwent surgery a couple days ago, and he's going to be out sometime between 4 and 6 weeks. So there's a possibility that he could be back by the regular season opener. It's just kind of a bummer because Zach's in a spot right now where Jonathan Taylor's kind of in this weird trade request holdout almost situation with the Colts. And Zach, you know, he started, you know, his Colts run last year after he got traded from the Bills in a nice spot, had a couple of good games. And I was really looking forward to seeing how he would kind of seize the opportunity there in Indianapolis. But, and then with your team, my gosh, Sam, former Utah wide receiver Tim Patrick is not a lucky man. He has just been banged up his entire career. It feels like, I think he missed like, I want to say it was like 16 or 17 games in college. And then last season, he goes down in training camp with a torn ACL. This year, torn Achilles. And it's just, these non-contact injuries are so brutal. And it kind of seemed like once it happened, you kind of knew it was really bad for Tim the other day, but I'll let you kind of go in on that because you're a Broncos guy. You covered the market there in Denver for a long time, and I'm sure you've talked to some people out there in Denver. What do you make of, you know, Tim's obviously like a really good wide receiver when he's healthy and on the field, but when you have two back-to-back really significant injuries like this, what does that kind of do to your career?
Man, it's tough because you got to look at his age too. I think he's 30. I think he's 30 now or going on 30. And come on, an NFL wide receiver at the age of 30, you're not getting any faster. You're not getting any more explosive. You know what I mean? And this is a rough time for him to have a second season ending injury in a row. I mean, you go back to before that though. I was there when Tim Patrick first came to Denver and covered the team then. And he made plays in training camp that I'm like, my goodness, this is like him and DT together are going to be amazing. You know, it's like, it's almost like a little clone, similar skill set, tall guy that can get the jump balls, runs good routes. And when he finally started getting those opportunities, you'd see what he would do. And you're like, okay, this is an this is a guy who's got a chance. And in 2020, he had his 51 catches for 740 yards, 6 touchdowns. The next year, he had 53 catches, 734, 5 touchdowns, very similar. He got the big contract, obviously. It just stinks because now the Broncos are in a tough situation where they probably have to make a decision. Do you know, he's under contract, I think, through 24. I'll have to look that up, but it's still a tough situation where it's like, okay, we've lost him for 2 straight years. He's going to be 31 next year. Does he still have explosiveness, especially with those injuries that he suffered? Will he be strong enough? It's so unfortunate because Tim Patrick's career was on the right trajectory to become a really special, I'm not saying like a Hall of Fame type, but an a Pro Bowl type player every year, a 1,000-yard receiver, you know, maybe a 90 to 100 catch type guy in an offense that was really trending in the right direction too. And now, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it's true that this could be, you know, we may not see Tim Patrick in an NFL game again. I hope we do. He's put enough on tape to warrant one more opportunity, I think. But it's going to be an uphill battle because next year at training camp, whether it's with the Broncos or another team, he's going to have a lot younger, talented players to battle against. You look at the Broncos roster, Cortland Sutton's back and he's, you know, presumably healthy. He's a baller. You know, Judy, all these other options out there. It's tough. You've got to stay healthy, and that's not always in your hands, not always in your control. And Tim Patrick's going to have an uphill battle when he comes back.
Yeah, so it looks like it was back in 2021 is when he signed his extension, like you mentioned, and it's through the 2024 season. And that's, I mean, he signed a $34 million extension, yeah. So you're like, hey.
He deserved the money.
Tim got paid, you know, it. Like, so mm-hmm. like the fact that he got money was really good. He got, you know, almost $12 million guaranteed when he signed the extension. And then obviously was out all of last year. Going to be out all of the 2023 season. So you're looking at, you know, how do they feel going into 2024? It looks like his dead cap hit is only $2.3 million. So really, like, it kind of puts him in a tough spot with Denver because that's not a lot of money if Denver is like, hey, like, we want to move in a different direction. And, yeah, you know, when you have somebody who's got, you know, 2 really bad injuries back-to-back, it is hard. I will say, though, he's only on the books for, what is it? The cap hits $13 million next year, so that's mm-hmm. not like terrible for, you know, a starting wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, it's more than running backs get paid, right?
Yeah,
but you know, like if he's out on the field and healthy, like that's a solid number for Tim Patrick. So hopefully he can bounce back, show, you know, Denver that he's, you know, able to rehab just like he did this last season. I just personally feel bad for him because he worked so hard to get back to, you know, being one of those guys like Cortland, oh my gosh, Cortland, your team, Cortland. Sam, they have Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. Like, they've had some bad luck with wide receiver health recently. So wish Tim the best and hopefully he can kind of rebound. I hope that my guy rebounds from his injury. He will play this season though. I'm going to give Zach Moss, you know, season opener. I'm keeping my hopes up. I'm going to say that your team's probably going to have a better record this year than my team, Sam, but you know, we'll see what happens. We both have new coaches, so that's all good. Yeah. Do you have anything else, Sam, that you want to talk about with training camp? We've obviously got, you know, a number of these guys that are, you know, rookies that are getting their first opportunities. I've got a couple on my list that I'm, you know, waiting to see how they kind of perform over the next few weeks when they get their chance. Cause that's the fun part about preseason is guys that we're not going to see a ton during the regular season, you know, backup quarterbacks, those types of things, they're going to get their shots here in the next month.
Well, and just up till today, you know, through the week and a half-ish or so of camp, I guess maybe 2 weeks now that we've had training camp, some of the players that I've been super interested in, their story and what's happening, you know, one guy, Tyler Allgeier in Atlanta, who's coming off of the first ever 1,000-yard season by a rookie, the most ever rushing yards by a rookie in their franchise history, emerged as the number one running back easily at the end of that season. And then they go use the 8th overall pick on the top running back in the draft in Bijan Robinson. How is that going to develop? You still have Cordarrelle Patterson. You still have all of these runners in that offense. I mean, they were going through like They had four guys regularly taking the ball last year. Now you add one more to it, you know? And so it's going to be really interesting. You know, we listened to Tyler at camp after day one or day two. He spoke to the media and he said that his relationship with Bijan's great, that he's his guy, you know? We'll see, right? We'll see how that develops and goes. But I've got my eyes on him. Clark Phillips is down there as well. He's made some great plays that actually drew the attention of his head coach, the way he played against Drake London. Yeah, you know, in a one-on-one drill, Drake London, they have high expectations of him. And here comes Clark Phillips doing what he does, ball hawking it and taking it away. So I love to see that. I hope Clark has a very good career. But the one play, the one thing about training camp that just – stands out to me so far, it was just a couple days ago, Devin Tompkins with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers made an absolute ridiculous catch at camp, just totally off balance, leaned into it, caught it as he was falling to the ground. It was beautiful. And I was actually up in Logan, Utah today talking with Utah State as they open up their fall camp and their head coach, Blake Anderson. I asked him, I'm like, did you happen to see that? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, that was amazing. He's like, but you know what? We're used to that. We saw him doing that all the time here. So yeah, hopefully we see a lot more from Devin Tompkins in the NFL this year. I really hope he gets more of an opportunity because he was so fun to watch in his senior season at Utah State where he had just ridiculous video game numbers.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. Speaking of second-year players, I'm really interested to see Rashid Shaheed.
Yes.
With the Saints. It seems like he's really emerging as like a legit, you know, probably a wide receiver number two there with Michael Thomas coming back, hopefully healthy for the Saints. And, you know, they've got Derek Carr, Jamal Williams, Taysom mm-hmm. Hill. Like, that offense should be pretty fun to watch this season. You've got Jaren Hall, who's going to get a number of, you know, reps in the preseason. They're probably not going to play Kirk Cousins at all. If they do, you know, maybe a series or something like that. So
yeah.
Jaren Hall is another guy I'm going to be really looking out for. And then the last guy I wanted to mention is Dalton Kincaid, the first round pick out of Utah.
No
he
kidding.
Has every time I see something of him on social media or a clip from training camp, I'm like, my gosh, like that is an NFL tight end. He's going to be so good. And it seems like he's already developed a pretty good chemistry there with Josh Allen, and they've obviously got Dawson Knox. So, you know, give me the two tight end sets all day with him and Kincaid. So that'll be fun to watch. But yeah, Sam, I love training camp. I love yep. football. I'm excited for more of it. And we're going to get the podcast rolling every week now. And man, I can't wait until we hit September 10th. Because yep. then it's real. And, you know, obviously we got high school football starting up and yep. college football here is, you know, fall camps are in full swing now. But real quick, before we wrap this thing up, what do you have to tease for us on KSL Sports Live?
So KSL Sports Live is our weekly weekend sports show on KSL Channel 5. And we have this week, we've been doing all of our college football previews 2 weekends ago. We did our local BYU football preview, and then the University of Utah was last week. This week, Utah State Aggies. So we'll be doing a lot of college football with the Utah State Aggies, but we'll also be hitting up a ton of this locals in the NFL as well. We never miss an opportunity to highlight the locals in the NFL on KSL Sports Live.
He's the one and only Sam Farnsworth. You can find him on Twitter, Instagram. He's even on Threads, people. I know it's dying off a little bit, but we're holding on to the Threads until they say no, it's gone. It's going the way of the dodo. So be sure to follow Sam. You can follow me. I'm Kyle Ireland. Until next week, this has been the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.